comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all over this planet, thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It's the show where you matter. You know, last night was really cool. It really was. I mean, it was a good show and great guest and all that. But, you know, we had one of our listeners that dropped by the studio and sat with me in the studio for the entire show. And I enjoyed it. I really did. I thought it was cool. And one of the things was I got to know this person. I didn't know him previously other than just his calls to the show, but I got to know him. His name's John. I got to know him a little bit last night. We had a chance to talk after the show, and I enjoyed it. The K-Files goes out tomorrow, so that means if you're not subscribed, you need to be subscribed, and you can do that by going to my website, click where it says K-Files, and it takes a few seconds to subscribe. It's absolutely free, and there are no strings attached, so there's no reason for you to be in the dark. You need to be in the know, and the K-Files is the way to do that. Also, if you've been thinking about, you know, hey, I really ought to check that members area out. I ought to see what they've got going on in there. This is a good time to do it because we have all the stuff that we normally have, of course. You get to watch the show live, and then if you happen to miss it or you just want to see it again, you can watch it as the latest show. All that's in the members area. We have our archives there. They're called K-Pods. We have chat. We have forums. We have a library of free ebooks for you to download. We have the Video Galaxy. And then from time to time, we do something special. Maybe after hours, you know, we go overtime after hours. After we go off the air and our affiliates leave us, we go into after hours, and that's in the members area. We don't do that every night, but we do it sometimes. And we also have, from time to time, a special video chat with one of our guests that has been on the show or that's coming up on the show. And then on the first Saturday of each month, I'm in the chat room. And I do drop into the chat room once in a while, at other times, but it's a scheduled time. The first Saturday of every month is a scheduled time because that way everybody knows I'm going to be there and they know when, and you can jump in and chat with us, and we'll just rock and roll and have a good time. So if you're not a member yet, this is a good night for you to join. It's 23 cents a day, and you've already wasted more than that today. So 23 cents a day, that's $6.95 a month, and join up and enjoy. We're going to have a good time tonight as well. We're going to be talking about something that merely because of the fact one group says A and another group says B, that's controversial. Controversy, well, you can never, ever discover truth without some of it. We'll be back right after this. and welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. You know, back in February of 2008, a story hit the internet that had a tsunami effect on the UFO community. It's the story of an alleged meeting at the United Nations building in New York City, a meeting at which a U.S. naval officer briefed the attendees, alleged to be from about 30 different countries, on the reality of extraterrestrial presence here on Earth. For the UFO community, the source of that story was Clay and Sean Pickering. They have been on this show at least twice, and maybe a third time, but I know for sure at least twice we've had them. And for the Pickerings, their source was a person they referred to only as Source A. Although they would not reveal the identity of Source A, they did say he was a U.S. naval officer, the officer in charge of that briefing at the United Nations building. As with all new information that comes to the UFO community, people began asking questions. And that's completely normal. In fact, to not ask questions is to open oneself to extreme gullibility. Well, a group of people who were asking questions at the above top secret forums were eventually banned from the forums. Group members say that it was because they were investigating the Pickering story. I have received email from other people this week who said the group was banned for using profanity or making personal attacks. The fact that they were banned is something they themselves admit. And as to the reasons, well, the reasons are completely irrelevant in the context of our discussion here tonight. Over the past week or so, I've been receiving a lot of email from people about a web page that exposes the identity of the man the Pickerings call Source A. And this web page also, the emails said, exposes that the Pickering story is a hoax. That web page was posted ostensibly by this group of people who are investigating the story. Now, I didn't reply to those emails that you sent because I was already in contact with one of the members of that group. And since we were working on scheduling him to be on the show, and since there was a possibility that he might not be able to, it wasn't possible for me to reply to those emails with any legitimate information. But I want to thank everyone that sent me an email about this because even though I was already working on it, it shows that our listeners are right on top of what's happening in the UFO and paranormal world. My guest this evening is Bryce Weiner. Bryce is part of that group of folks who investigated the Pickering story. Now, before I bring him on the air, let me say that I know for certain that whatever he says here tonight, there will be a lot of people lined up on both sides of the fence. I know this because, first, I've been doing this for a long time, and secondly, because of the large number of emails I've received during the past 48 hours, some in support of Mr. Weiner and his information, and some denouncing him and asking me to cancel him. Now, for those who are new to the show, I must inform you, and for those who are longtime listeners, I must remind you, I believe very strongly in freedom of speech and freedom of information. For the UFO community to rail against the government for their embargo on truth and information about UFOs, it would be hypocritical if that same community want to embargo information which, for whatever reason, they do not agree with. Now, I frequently get emails requesting that I cancel a guest. I've gotten a lot of those emails over the years, and I have never canceled a guest based on such emails. Never have, never will. Freedom of speech means freedom of speech. It is a right under our Constitution. It's also an absolute guarantee you will hear something, somewhere, sometime, with which you disagree, or perhaps that offends you. Now tonight, when I open the phone lines, I encourage you to call, and you may ask any question you want to ask within the context of our discussion. What we don't allow here on the show is for you to launch into praises of the guest or insults and assaults against the guest. None of that has anything at all to do with his information. But so long as what you ask is focused on his information, you may ask absolutely anything you want to ask. Let's exercise freedom of speech with civility. And now let me say to Bryce Weiner, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, Bryce.
Thank you, sir. It's a humble privilege to be able to present this information to you and your audience.
Well, Bryce, let's just start out with, we'll just jump in right at the beginning of this. In a nutshell, the Pickerings story is that a naval commander told them about a briefing held at the UN building in New York, February the 12th, 2008, in which representatives from about 30 countries were told about extraterrestrial presence on Earth, and you think that story is a hoax. So let's jump in right there with why you think it's a hoax.
Well, I'd like to be very specific about the information that as we've discovered it.
All right.
And stress that it's, and as you said, that this is a very complex topic, it's very controversial, and but the star of the show is the information.
Mm-hmm.
And towards that end, we don't have any information. There was nothing within the context of the information that we've discovered in the past 2 weeks that indicates any truth or falsehood as to the claims of that UN meeting. However, we did discover the identity of the individual known as Source A, and certain things that were available for many years on the internet began to draw question as to whether or not the information as it had been presented was indeed authentic.
Okay, let's be specific about it. What is there about this Source A and the information that you and your group have found? What is there about that that indicates to you that this story might not be authentic?
Principally, one of the first items that, and I'm going to, there's many facts in this case, so, or in this issue. So I'm going to cover in broad strokes, and then perhaps we'll dial down to the various details as is necessary.
All right.
Specifically, the first incident that I'm aware of that was validated as potentially inaccurate is the claim that Source A was involved in the Superdome in New Orleans during the Katrina hurricane and went to the Superdome and was involved in arresting individuals accused of rape.
Okay, now who made this? What's the source of that claim? Who made that claim?
That's the source of that claim were the Pickerings themselves, posting on an internet forum.
Okay.
And that's where most of the information about Source A comes from the Pickerings. So as we go on, I'll be sure to differentiate where certain segments of information came from.
All right.
Now, there is one of the principal investigators in this story was a man by the name of Andrew Murray, a friend of mine, and he pursued this to the point of verifying the exact nature of the criminal charges that were instituted as a result of arrests made at the Superdome. What he had discovered was there were, in fact, no arrests for rape made at the Superdome. So that started to get Andrew's juices flowing as to perhaps not everything is as it seems. the first fact that was available to be validated did not necessarily pan out, and sufficient reason for why that panned out was never provided. So,
did you ask the Pickerings about this? Did you give them an opportunity to respond to any question about that claim?
Now, this is one of those points that's hazy, and I'm sure my email is going to go off as soon as I make this statement if it's incorrect, and someone will correct me. But I believe that it was the inquiry into the validity of those claims that actually caused Mr. Murray to be banned from the forum in question.
Okay. Now, well, I've already named the forum. It's Above Top Secret.
Actually, I believe it was Open Minds Forum.
Oh, was it? Okay, yes, sir. Then I stand corrected. My information was incorrect.
And I'm sure Mr. Murray is listening this evening, and if that's incorrect, I invite him to correct my information, and I'll present it appropriately.
Okay. Well, and it's a small thing. I just don't want to say it was Above Top Secret if it wasn't. I'm not trying to put any heat on one forum or another. We're just trying to be as specific as possible. My information apparently was in error.
The Pickerings have a special area that they are permitted to present their information at Open Minds Forum. So that is proved as their primary source for disseminating their information.
Okay. All right. And so this subject was brought up at the forum, and what was the response of the Pickerings to this?
It was not it wasn't contrite. And to my knowledge, there was not much of a response at all.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, there is when questions get uncomfortable, the topic tends to move on. So was that specific in this case? And in fact, yes, this was all questioned at OMF, and Mr. Murray was banned as a result. So I believe that the questioning became a little too intense towards that end, and it served to sever the membership of Mr. Murray. So whether or not there was actually a response, that kind of goes up in the air.
All right. So what was what's the next thing that came up?
Well, once we had come to, there was over a year of conversation that took place at a what I consider my adopted home on the internet, and if I may mention it, amcon.net. And there was a thread started there by one of our oldest and most longtime members, who was himself banned from Open Minds Forum for asking uncomfortable questions of their special guests. And over the year of conversation, variety of information came out. Now, most of the research that was done, again, that has come forward in recent days, was performed by Andrew Murray and John Hicks. And their diligence in identifying who this individual was from the limited information that the Pickerings provided can't be underestimated. Now, to answer your question specifically, excuse me if I ramble a bit, to answer your question specifically, the next item of importance was a luncheon that took place earlier this year, and it was involving Admiral Roughhead, I believe is his name. If I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, I ask for your forgiveness.
No, that's his name.
And it was the chief naval officer of the United States Navy was speaking to a luncheon given for the Navy League of New York City. And there was a variety of individuals who were there, members of the Navy League, members of the Naval Order of the United States, and the event was open to the public. anybody was able to attend this event. Now, the Pickerings presented the details of that event and photographs that were taken at the event. Through those photographs, we noticed an individual that appeared next to Mr. Pickering in the photographs and began to wonder if this individual was indeed Source A. Mr. Pickering had indicated that he had attended the luncheon with Source A. And there were a variety of facts about that meeting that he offered, one of which was that there was no note-taking permitted. Another was about a series of 23 note cards of UFO-related questions, which were to be presented to Admiral Roughhead to answer. Now, while we have never been able to establish the validity of the note cards beyond any shadow of a doubt, what we were able to establish was we visited the Navy League of New York website that had a series of photographs, and this was Andrew Murray that presented this evidence. He visited the New York League website and selected photographs that seemed to have that individual that was placed next to Mr. Pickering during the luncheon. During investigating those photographs, Mr. Murray noticed that not only were this individual present in several photographs, but there was also note-taking going on at several of the tables. And just in the matter of the Katrina story, it was something that was given as a specific fact of the event that did not match up to corroborating evidence.
Now, just to clarify and make sure that I understand, these photographs that are on the website, and it's who, the website of the Navy League?
Yes, sir. It's the organization that hosted the luncheon.
Okay. These are photographs of that event. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And Mr. Murray attempted to contact.
Okay, Bryce, we're going to have to step away for a break for a few minutes. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Bryce Weiner, and we're talking about the investigation that he and a group of people, other folks, have done into the story about it initially started as an investigation into the story about the alleged meeting at the United Nations building, February the 12th, 2008, in which a U.S. naval officer briefed representatives from about 30 countries on extraterrestrial presence on Earth. Bryce, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence there because the break took over. If you want to complete your thought, go ahead.
Sure. In fact, I was rather pleased that you cut me off because I was about to make a misstatement. At the point when we had identified the Navy luncheon as perhaps something that may not be exactly as it was presented, the other star of the show, Mr. John Hicks, contacted the Navy League directly and posed a series of questions to them in regard to the attendees. For instance, the claim was made that UN and State Department personnel had attended the luncheon. And Mr. Hicks contacted the Navy League in order to attempt to clarify those statements. And according to published emails between Mr. Hicks and the Navy League, and what they had mentioned that that they were basically puzzled at the nature of the questions, and that there were indeed no State Department personnel in attendance, and that there were indeed no UN delegates in attendance. And the Navy League, the event was sponsored in part by the Naval Order, and it was open to the public at large. And that seemed to be about, you know, the facts of the situation. And they were not consistent as Mr. Pickering had presented them. So from that point, with Mr. Murray went through dozens of photographs, hundreds of photographs, for hours. And as luck, and you know, people will question this moment, but there was a lucky eureka moment in which, in one particular photograph from an event that was held in 2009, I believe, April of 2009, was a picture of the individual that was seated next to Mr. Pickering at this luncheon with the chief naval officer, and he was wearing a name tag that was clearly in frame and clearly in focus. And now we had a name attached to a face that was sitting next to Mr. Pickering. At this point, Andrew Murray had come to me and asked for a little bit of help and maybe advice, and I offered what I could, and we discussed bringing in some other individuals who had contacts within the UFO community that might be available to verify this individual. Certain people within the UFO community had stated publicly that they had met Source A. So now that we had a name and a face, we needed to present this to one of those individuals for that identification. And we contacted Ryan Dube from Reality Uncovered, and he was able to present this information to an individual who at the time wished to remain confidential. And just as a personal note, I think this individual knew something I did not, because I believe that he knew something about the controversy that this would create that I don't believe I truly appreciated. But I digress. So we conducted as much as we could, investigation as we could, into the background of this individual. We identified his home address. We identified his area and some of his extracurricular activities, one of which being his church. And in the church website, there were several mentions of the parishioners and their activities at the time. One of the mentions was of this individual and his presence in Houston to assist victims of Katrina. Suddenly, Andrew Murray was vindicated, because now the individual who had been seen as, was known as Source A, was said to be in Houston doing God's work, assisting the victims of Hurricane Katrina. At that point,
okay, now clarify how that relates to this story. How is that an important fact?
Previously, the event that had piqued Mr. Murray's interest was the irregularity of the fact that there were no rape arrests at the Superdome during Katrina, which is where Source A allegedly had been at the time.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the time when he was supposed to have been doing that, there is a bulletin from this individual's church stating that this individual was in Houston at the time. So those two events didn't, you know, there was a kernel of truth, but the actual events did not seem to match up.
Okay.
At this point, we were very reticent about what we had. Mr. Stephen Broadbent from Reality Uncovered attempted to verify directly with this individual as to who he was. And at that point, the individual would not speak to us whatsoever. However, he did indicate that he was aware of who the Pickerings were and that he had had drinks with them in their bar. And beyond that, he was not going to make a comment. And for us, that was sufficient to move forward with the information that we had. Now, I paraphrase somewhat in the context of those conversations, but that, in fact, was the gist of what they were.
And all right. Now, how did you conclude that this picture, this guy in the picture setting with the Pickerings, how did you conclude that he was Source A?
We presented the photographs Ryan presented the photographs to an individual well known within the ufology community.
Okay, and he confirmed that was Source A?
That's correct.
Okay.
And at the same time, and I will, later this individual decided no longer to remain silent after the information was published, and that individual is none less than Bruce McAbee.
Okay.
At that point, the investigation is what it is. Many attempts were made to contact Mr. Thielman and allow him to tell his portion of the story. And I obtained copies of those calls and made them available as open information. There are people who disagree with that decision. However, I will take whatever lumps are coming my way for it. And I really wouldn't want to go into it any further than that, other than to say that that's how the evidence came into the public sphere.
Okay, now
this particular... Sir, go ahead.
Yeah, on the website where this information resides, there are pictures of Source A that you got off of the internet, and there's basically this story that you have related to us.
Correct.
There is a picture on that website that was apparently taken at a Halloween party in which Source A is dressed in leather and chains, and we won't get all specific about it, but I'm curious as to what role does that play in the story?
Well, when we started to compile the information, we started to, pretty much everybody in the modern world leaves some sort of fingerprint on the internet. And we followed this individual's fingerprints. And that led us to not only his Facebook page, but also his MySpace page. And there were several portions of his MySpace page which were open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And the information on that page and the photographs that were on that page, I'll just go ahead and say that it didn't seem consistent to me with someone involved with UFO disclosure and potentially involved at the United Nations on some sort of secret level. And it was those pictures and the information that was available on the MySpace page. And the MySpace page had been online since 2005. 3 years even before the events at the United Nations were ever brought to the surface. So there were many individuals. I mean, what it appeared is the guy liked to play dress up. The picture in question was actually, I believe, someone's birthday party.
Okay.
And he was a slave present to the birthday girl. There are another pictures of a public event in New York City that was, I believe it was either a marathon or a bike race, in which people dressed up in silly costumes. And he was evident in one of those pictures dressed up in a silly costume. In fact, he was wearing the same pink panties that he was wearing when he was a slave birthday present. So what we started to see is we started to build a picture of this individual that existed completely unknown to the UFO community and did not necessarily seem consistent with the story that was being presented about him.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because I don't see how that relates to the information, to the story, really at all. Now, let me explain why. It may be that lots of Americans would like to think that that doesn't fit with people that are in high position. But have you ever heard of J. Edgar Hoover and his pink tutu?
Absolutely.
How about, now we don't have pictures of it, but, what about President Clinton and his escapades with Monica? There are no pictures of it, but obviously, at least we don't think so, but obviously there's someone in a high position, the highest position in the world, doing something that we think they don't do. We have to take a break, and I'll let you respond to that when we come back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Bryce Weiner. We're talking about the investigation that he and a group of other people have done into the story regarding this February the 12th, 2008 meeting alleged to have taken place at the United Nations building in New York City. Bryce, when we went away for break, I had just listed a couple of things there that people in high places have done that we would think, well, that's not consistent with someone in high places, and yet there is no question about whether that happened or not. And I'm just curious as to really what does it the photograph of his costume at a birthday party. While it's not a costume I would wear, in fact, I wouldn't wear a costume. Nevertheless, I don't see how that has any bearing at all on his credibility or on the story itself.
Well, it goes, it's evidence. It's a fact. And as the picture evolves, it's not something that we could necessarily ignore as irrelevant. It was certainly odd.
Everybody's odd.
And that was kind of the point, is everybody is odd. And posting embarrassing pictures on MySpace and Facebook is not exactly the sole providence of teenagers. So, there are the facts, and what is the next logical question from those facts, but I'm loath to speculate beyond what the evidence directly indicates.
But I don't see what it indicates relative to the story. That's my question.
Relative to the exact story, if you were to disqualify the inference that it bears towards at least the way that this individual was attempting to present themselves on the internet, then it was, I mean, then it would have no bearing. However, we all choose to present ourselves in a particular manner. And if this individual had presented themselves differently, we would have reported it differently. But this is what we had.
Well, I understand. See, I I'm not trying to be argumentative.
I don't understand your question.
I understand that he had this on the Internet. But I don't understand how that has anything at all to do with whether or not this whole Pickering story is a hoax.
In and of itself, nothing. In and of itself, it does not directly comment upon the Pickering story beyond the manner in which the individual in question chose to present themselves on the Internet.
Well, but see, I've got on the Internet, if you go to my MySpace page, there's a picture of me wearing a Howard Stern-style wig and standing in flames. Now, in fact, I use that photograph even on our TV channel. And the story behind it is I got told to go to hell so often I took the tour. Okay, and that's truly how that picture came to be. I got 1 week, I got so many emails telling me I ought to just go to hell that I decided we'd just make fun of the emails by doing a picture of me standing in flames. But since that picture came out, and I publish it on my MySpace page, I use it on my site sometimes, and I use it on our TV channel. Since that came out, I have gotten emails from people telling me that I am the spawn of Satan, that I am demonic, and you know, to even portray myself like that proves that, you know, I'm a son of Lucifer. These people are absolutely, completely off the planet, and absolutely wrong. However, they could make a case and say, well, you chose to portray yourself this way. Well, yeah, I did. But it has absolutely no bearing on who I am, other than the fact I was making fun of some emails that I got from people that I thought were nutty. And,
even towards that end, it goes to showing it would even reveal a certain self-deprecating aspect of your character. So even in that aspect, it told us something about please understand that we knew nothing about this individual other than what the Pickerings and others had presented mm-hmm. during this time. And it was certainly nothing like what we expected to see on such a page. And I believe that was truly the impact that it had, was this is completely inconsistent with the picture that has been painted for us. Now,
I'll say this and then we'll move on. Every single individual is actually many, many individuals. For most people around the world, the Kevin Smith they know is the one that they hear and or see sitting at this microphone every night. They know really nothing else about me. But in addition to this, I write music and produce it. I like to do a lot of things like going fishing. They never see that. Almost nobody has ever seen me angry, and so they may think I don't get angry. There are people who have seen photographs of me in uniform when I was international police, and for them, that's the picture that's in their mind, even though I haven't been international police now since 2003. Every person, if you were to write about me, you would only write based on what you know. But there's a lot more to know that paints a different picture. And, I don't know. It's my view that this really says, the thing with this picture says absolutely nothing about the story and whether it's true or not. That one really puzzled me. I followed along with the investigation as I read it on the site. I followed along with that and the reasoning of it and understood what was going on. But that picture and that information seemed completely, really irrelevant to the case. But that's my view. All right, so let's move forward a bit. You've come to the conclusion, and you've identified this man, and you've come to the conclusion that he's source A, and you get that verified by, you mentioned Bruce McAbee, and he says, yep, that's source A. Now, what is there that makes you move from that to firming up the idea that the Pickering story is inaccurate?
The one piece of evidence that came forward that was really, that was for us the nail in the coffin, was a particular incident that occurred in, I believe it was 2008, in regard to a specific time when the Pickerings had mentioned that this individual was off of the planet visiting aliens. At the exact same time at which they said that this was occurring, the individual was identified on his church website as going through heart surgery and was recuperating and was having a hard time of it. And people were wishing, there was a mention in church bulletins for several weeks, if not months, asking for prayers for this individual and his speedy recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you may as well go ahead and say his name, because it's out there on the internet now. All right, look, we have to step away for break. We'll be back, folks. Don't go away. And welcome to the second hour of the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in the second hour, my most sincere, deep, and heartfelt sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you from the first hour. We're glad you're here now. We're talking this evening with Bryce Weiner, and Bryce is part of a group that did an investigation into the, I'm calling it the Pickering story. We're referring, of course, to Clay and Sean Pickering, and we're referring to the story as it began and then evolved regarding this meeting February the 12th, 2008, at the United Nations building. Now, Bryce, let me nail down something for clarification that you said earlier.
Sure.
Throughout this investigation, you actually did not find any information that either confirmed or denied whether that meeting actually took place. Is that right?
This, you would be in reference to the February meeting in 2008 at the United Nations.
That's correct.
That is correct. There was nothing in this investigation that either confirmed or denied that.
So the possibility exists that the meeting did take place, and the possibility exists that it did not. It cuts both ways. Based on everything that you learned, what's your gut feeling about that? Did it take place or not?
Well, and my gut feeling is that there are, and I'll qualify it, there are many avenues of this story that have not proven factually accurate. At that point, when the small details do not bear out with independent verification, it's very difficult to then swallow and believe the most extraordinary of those claims. So as a result of the fact that a large number of facts that were presented did not survive validation and verification, I do not believe that the United Nations meeting actually took place.
Fair enough. Okay, now let me lay out a hypothetical for you and get your response to it. This is not a trap, okay? Let's say that I were to tell you that I know of a guy, and we'll say that he is he's running an intelligence unit that on the books does not exist. So you can't find any records of this intelligence unit, but he says he ran it. There's no paper trail. People would say, well, if you can't find this intelligence unit, you certainly they had to have supplies. They had to have computers. They had to have vehicles and fuel. So you look for the paper trail on supplies for something that's not identified. And it doesn't exist. There is no paper trail. And then when you start investigating, people say, well, yeah, I've seen this guy. But when I saw him, he was hanging out with a bunch of thugs in a bar and was drinking with them and partying with them. And maybe they show you a photograph. And would you think, I'm just trying to see if that would fall kind of in the same vein as this, that would tend to discredit his story of being in charge of this intelligence unit?
Well, that's a difficult question. And hypothetically speaking, it's difficult to separate from some of the things that have evolved in the investigation. For instance, was this particular individual, this hypothetical individual, did they have some sort of public presence? Were
yeah.
they involved in extracurricular activities?
Absolutely, every day.
Okay. There's
and I said it's not a trap, but it's evolving now in our discussion to where it can seem like that. So let me just put it this way.
That is me. I want to be very concise.
That is me. There is no paper trail that says that that you can find supplies for this unit because this unit didn't exist. I ran it, and I did hang out with thugs in bars because that was my job. Okay, and so someone who had no idea what my job really was would say he hangs out with thugs and drinks with thugs in the bar. But, and it's true that I did. But if you know the whole story, I was doing that because that was my job to do. And I'm just, the only thing I'm saying is that I think that things can look a lot different than what they may actually be. Now, I'm not in any way unimpressed that your group was able to verify that there were no arrests for rape at the Superdome, and so that claim can't be true. I'm not unimpressed at all. That, in fact, I think you guys nailed down some pretty definite things. The deal where he's supposed to be on a spaceship communing with the aliens at a time when his church says that he's in the hospital with heart surgery. So, obviously, then, either the church is in error or the Pickerings are in error. One or the other. They can't both be true. And so I'm not unimpressed with that at all. But I do think that there may be a great deal more to the story than you've been able to turn up. What would you say about that?
I would say that that is absolutely correct. That is positively, absolutely the case. That we have turned over, and what Andrew Murray has done, you know, I wax philosophical on it and compare it to a line from The Untouchables. He tied a tin can around the Pickering's tail and chased them all over town. And it was from that tenacity that various aspects of the story began to emerge that did not make sense. If new information appears that contradicts what we have presented, we have no choice as honest researchers but to revise our theories appropriately to the facts as they have presented themselves. Now, that doesn't mean that the facts will be accepted at face value. They have never been accepted at face value in this field of ufology, and I'm not a ufologist. I'm just a researcher.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, now let me ask this, and then we'll open the phone lines for the audience. But after this alleged meeting, you know, what came out at the time was what they had been told. I mean, this is the way the story goes. What they had been told took place at the meeting, and that these nations were briefed. And they were briefed not only to the reality of extraterrestrials, but to the fact that the ETs said, you've got to get people used to the idea and you got to move this along towards disclosure, because in 2017, if you haven't done it by then, 2017, we're going to reveal ourselves anyway. And so, and that was kind of the gist of the meeting. And also, it was decided then that we have to acclimate the world's population to ET reality. Following that...
There was something...
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I was about to say, there is something important relating to that aspect of the story, which we have not yet covered, and I'm not sure if it actually appeared in the written reports.
Mm-hmm.
There is a manual called the SOM, I believe it stands for Standard Operations Manual, or something along those lines.
All right.
And it was basically a list of instructions on how to interact with aliens.
Mm-hmm.
This document was presented to the public via the Pickerings, I believe. Now, what subsequently, and I need to fast forward a little bit in order to have this have context, is we actually had conversations with Mr. Thielman. And one of the statements that he made very specifically and in no uncertain terms is that he did not break the law, he did not violate any security oaths, and he did not release any secret documents. Now, that statement is in direct contradiction to the previous statement that that Mr. Thielman, his name is Richard Thielman, that Mr. Thielman actually presented these documents to the Pickerings.
But do you know that these documents are classified?
It was alleged that these documents were being provided to as a teaser. That there was a certain permission that was given, and well, you know, either expressed or implied in a sort of black ops paradigm, that he was able to distribute this information. It's kind of cloudy, and those kind of details are very fuzzy because they come from, you know, the Pickerings themselves.
Okay. So, now. But how do you account for the fact that after this meeting is alleged to have taken place, and it is we've been given the alleged, if you will, the menu for the meeting, sort of the summary of what took place, And it appears that world events have followed exactly the pattern that this meeting says they have to do. For instance, almost immediately after the meeting, we have the Vatican saying, you know what, it's okay to think and to believe that extraterrestrials exist because, after all, they're just our space brothers. Then you have one nation after another opening up their UFO files. Then you have the Vatican again hosting a meeting and publicizing the fact that they were hosting a meeting of top scientists from around the world to talk about extraterrestrials. It seems that someone is following a plan. The plan seems to be very much like what we got out of the information about that meeting.
Well, while I might concede that fact, there is an equally likely scenario that we know that Mr. Thielman, and again, this was published within the original documents on Reality Uncovered, that Mr. Thielman had identified himself as an independent filmmaker. We have also found evidence of screenplays authored by Mr. Pickering. In much in the same manner as the recent, I believe one of the films was Numbers,
okay,
or 2012. What is equally likely, as indicated by the evidence that we have, is that it could have been a creative fiction that wove events that were, these meetings do not happen in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And these various announcements usually have press releases and some sort of telegraphing that they're going to occur. So to necessarily, have we dug that deeply into it? I will concede no, we have not.
I don't see how, but I don't see how anybody involved in this could have orchestrated the governments of Denmark and France and UK and I can't remember all of them, a bunch of them have released their UFO files, and also orchestrated the Pope into not opposing having this conference. I don't think they could have orchestrated having this conference. All of these things have happened, and it's involved governments, militaries, and the Vatican. And it seems, it doesn't prove that the meeting happened. It does not prove that the information we were given about the meeting was accurate. But it seems to corroborate the basic information that they provided about that meeting.
And it's difficult to deny that. However, I would say in response that it is a vast, complex world. And to say that these events are connected by one particular thread as opposed to another without sufficient evidence indicating one way or the other, it just relies purely in the land of speculation.
All right, I'm going to open up the telephone lines for our audience and allow our audience to participate. Ladies and gentlemen, the main number here in the studio, for those of you watching on our TV channel, has the numbers have appeared on your screen. For those of you listening by computers, radio, cell phones, etc., whatever way you're listening, the main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599, and that's toll-free in the USA and Canada. For those who are outside of the USA and outside of Canada, I don't have a international toll-free line for you. So what you can do is use our flash message feature. And you just go to my website and scroll down, and you'll see where it says flash message, okay? And you click that, and you can send me your question or comment that way. But you have to be outside the USA or Canada. That's there because I don't have a toll-free number internationally. All right, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
Hi. I was wondering what hospital and what kind of surgery did the alleged source say have according to this church's website?
Ryan, before he answers that, let me say this. At this point, he is not the alleged source A, because I have also independently confirmed that they have correctly identified source A. Okay, so at this point, he's not alleged, he's source A.
Okay, well, my point is that if I believe that you guys have done a good investigation, I'm not taking either sides on this, but if it can be proven that he was in that hospital as far as interviewing people that visited him at the hospital or other ways of verifying that or seeing scars on his chest, then I would believe that he was in a hospital at that time. But I just want to ask you, what other information do you have besides a website to prove that he was doing heart surgery at the time that he said he was on a spaceship?
It came directly from a comparison of the timelines provided by both the church website and that of the Pickerings for the two different occasions. Now, understand that there is still the probability, for whatever the evidence might suggest, there is nothing absolutely conclusive, and I think that that's a lot of what we've been talking about this evening, and that there's a lot of investigation still left to be done. However, better 100 guilty men go free than a single innocent man spend the night in jail. And such research, and I'll be the first to admit, we might have done some things that were necessarily good and necessarily for the purposes of expediency. We did not know how this information would be received, as it had been protected so well by the individuals involved until very recently. So we didn't have the benefit that we felt to walk with a gentle touch. However, now we do. And I don't want anyone to walk away with this thinking that there isn't a possibility that Mr. Thielman is just an individual human being. And before people go tearing his life apart, I would ask that as they conduct their research, that they keep that in mind, that and truly keep an open mind as to Mr. Thielman's overall complicity in events as they have transpired. So it was a hospital in Long Island. The name of the hospital exactly, I feel a little reticent in mentioning it on the air. However, it is included in the written information available on the Internet. And I only feel uncomfortable mentioning it on the air for that matter. If you're truly interested in investigating this, then I would ask that you go and find it, because I would rather not lead a clarion call for the invasion of this man's life should it turn out that, you know, he was just a joker. He was just having some fun, or that he was used, or maybe he is a special operative. And there's vast portions of the story that prove to be true. But until those facts come in, I just ask a bit of reservation when exploring this man's life. Did I answer your question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's disconnected. And give me just a brief second here. Okay, I'm looking at a flash message notice that I got, but it got, okay, the deal is it came from the United States, and the filters automatically dump it into delete. Flash message is for overseas, and telephones are for the U.S. and Canada, and one of those telephone lines you can call from anywhere in the world. So if you're in the USA or if you're in Canada and you've got something to say, you've got a telephone. And if you don't have the money to make the long-distance call, I pay for the call on the toll-free line. So the telephone numbers are 623-444-5889. Or the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. I must have scared the living hell out of the audience with my statement at the beginning of the show, because usually by this time I've got folks just lined up trying to get on the show. And I can see from what we're looking at here in terms of how many people are watching and how many people are listening, it's loaded up. There's lots of people. Folks, you can ask any question you want to ask. The only thing that we don't want to get into is name calling. If you feel particularly hot about this one way or the other, just don't get into name calling and insults and things like that. And don't get into singing the praises of our guest. He's presenting information, and if you have a question or comment about the information, please feel free to give us a call and ask what you want to ask, and we'll be more than happy to let Bryce address it. Okay, caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Of course I am.
All right, you hang in there, and we'll be back, folks, right after this. You're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, and we are talking this evening with Bryce Weiner. And we have a caller on hold, so let's go straight to the telephone. And caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is John from Mesa.
Hello, John. By the way, it was a pleasure to have you in the studio last night.
I was just going to say the same thing. I really enjoyed seeing it from that side of the camera, and enjoyed our chat later on after everything shut down, and was very, very pleasantly rewarded for the efforts to come see you.
Well, good. What's your question or your comment?
Well, I was curious. I didn't hear all of the earlier comment. I was interrupted by my wife and dog, so if this was already touched on, forgive me for bringing it up again. In his research, did he find any information that could be classified as misinformation? You know, how sometimes those in power load up a real event with a lot of misinformation so that the entire thing gets washed out, like the baby in the bathwater, you know, scenario.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. What about that, Bryce?
Were I to be completely honest, I would have to say it was inconclusive either way. There's a vast amount of research still to be done, and that research will reveal whether or not the things that we have discovered are, in fact, red herrings and false leads. And even the recognition of something being a false lead or planted information is a valuable clue as to the true nature of events. However, as in, you know, the story continues to evolve as it has evolved for the past 2 years. And should such information be the case, then I would hope that whomever the researcher is that discovers it publishes it in the open so that we can all take a look at it.
Okay.
I agree. I think that all the information is good, and if we do find some that happens to be misinformation, that lends credibility to the story, either side of the story, depending on what the information happens to be. So I think your efforts are commendable in the fact that we need to find more information out, and I'm sure that you know, we've gotten the UFO or the group has gotten bad information and been tagged with a lot of misinformation and kooks that come in with whatever story. So I'm always one of the ones that comes in and says, hey, you know, let's find more facts out before we jump off the deep end.
All right, John, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. You know, it is one possibility about this whole story. Could be that, you know, the Pickerings may have been given information that was doctored without their knowledge, and that the red herrings may be in the information that they were given. That's a possibility as well, is it not?
Absolutely. And one of the things that we have not yet been able to answer with the information that we have available is, for lack of a better term, who's zooming who? Who said what? And where did it come from? And who started what information? And was it, you know, there's a lot of individuals who have capitalized off of the Source A saga. Robert Morningstar, Mike Sala, who's been even almost commenting on our research in real time, attempting to refute our claims somewhat unsuccessfully, in my opinion. However, you know, there are a lot of people who have attached themselves to this story and have ingrained their reputations with validity of these events. And so it's not to be underestimated the amount of discussion that's going to go on from now in the future. I don't think this is...
Oh, you can bet we have tonight... We have ignited a firestorm of discussion. You can bet on it. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello?
Yeah, you need to turn the radio down because you're listening to me in delay back there. So turn your radio down and then we can talk on the phone.
Okay, yes, I'm wondering why...
Whoa. First name and where are you calling from?
Charlotte, I'm from D.C.
Okay, Charlotte.
And I was wondering why they would pick on Thielman. Why was, if he seems so unlikely, then why was he chosen as being Source A?
Well, to be honest, it was research. And we uncovered certain facts, and you know, through very rigorous and very open research methodologies, we were able to connect one into the mythic Source A to the potential. I mean, if you want to get down to it was a lucky guess. We guessed. We just started with the pictures that we had and assumed that if the Pickerings had, in fact, attended this luncheon with Source A back in earlier this year, that he would be sitting near them. And we took the pictures in which he... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yes, but Don, are you saying that he gave them wrong information or they just decided he would be Source A and they made it up? I'm not really sure what's... I mean, I'm not sure what's being claimed here.
Well, and that's kind of what I was leading to in my previous comments, in that we're not sure either. The Pickerings themselves, since we made these revelations in the past, 2 weeks, have gone silent. There has been no public statement from those individuals commenting on our information or at least enlightening a little bit as to where the information came from and who said what exactly. So, if anything, I would invite the Pickerings to come forward and make the statement that we are all waiting for them to make.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just don't know. We can't tell from where we are from the outside who said what to whom and whose idea was what.
Okay, Charlotte, thank you for the call. 623-444-5889. You can call that number from anywhere on planet Earth, and it will transport you magically right into the studio here. If you're in the USA or Canada, you can call the toll-free number if you need to, and it is 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, it's Mark from Ohio.
Hello, Mark.
Hello. I think Sean and Clay are honest and intelligent guys, and they're articulate. And however, I think that what might be happening is some of these military contacts are purposely giving disinformation to some of the UFO researchers. For example, David Wilcox, military contacts, told him that Obama would be disclosing the ET presence on TV. And we've even heard from our own Dick Criswell that we would have landings in 2010, yet nothing has happened yet. So I wonder if we have honest guys in the UFO community that are just being given disinformation, and I wonder what your guests thought of that.
All right.
I believe that if you operate under the assumption that there is the potential for military cover, and you know, there's everything from Philip Corso and much of Richard Dolan's work to indicate that there possibly is, then you run the risk of going more with supposition than what the facts say. Is there a possibility? Yes. Is it something that can be ignored by someone who is honestly approaching the subject? No. Is it evident in this case? Not really. Generally speaking, I think that there have been a number of cases in which that there is sufficient evidence to believe that the government was manipulating information for one reason or another. However, I will say at this time, there is no evidence that indicates as such right now with this case. Should that change, opinions will have to be reevaluated.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Mark. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599 will get you here to the studio. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay. When you call in, don't try to listen to yourself on the radio because it's in delay, all right? And we will have already passed you by the time you realize we're saying hello, caller. 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. Let's check the flash message board. Nothing new on the flash message board. One of the things that I say frequently is when all the evidence is not on the table, every speculation is as valid as every other speculation. And I think that's kind of what you're getting at, that, you know, the evidence that you have leads in one direction, but there are lots of areas where you don't have evidence, and every speculation is a possibility.
Absolutely. And it's for that reason that I believe that what we and everyone from John and Andrew and Ryan and Steve and to all of the people who have been involved on HamCon and Reality Uncovered and Open Minds Forum who have asked these questions, our research stands on the shoulders of everyone who has gone into this topic before. And too often, there are those individuals who will simply report what they are told and not go into too much fact-checking. Perhaps that's what the Pickerings are guilty of just simply taking the information as it was presented to them and going forward. However, then I would say that it's up to our responsibility as the interested parties to whom who consume this information to do the fact-checking, to verify that these things are correct. And, you know, I hate to sound almost like a kumbaya call, but it's in that aspect that we keep ufology as a valid area of research. And perhaps if someone is attempting to deceive the community and to deceive that research, such cooperation between the interested people will make that impossible because everybody will be looking into the facts and everybody will be checking everything with a fine-tooth comb. And that's really all we did. I mean, we're just a bunch of guys.
All right. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Yeah.
All right. You hang in there, and we'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on final approach. We just have a few minutes left in the show, and we're talking with Bryce Weiner. Let's go to the telephone and caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi. I've had a few problems with Sean and Clay, not with themselves, but like one question I kept asking was, if the military wanted to release information, why would they choose someone working at a bar, managing a bar, and releasing it that way?
Mm-hmm.
That was one problem I had. Another problem I had was they introduced a whole new species, this rock-like silicon-based ET, which, you know, suddenly comes out of the blue, fairly shocking that way. And then the third problem I had with them was they've said a number of times that what the ETs want is kind of a grassroots movement to enable disclosure. And yet, without ETs actually showing up, say, at a meeting that you or I would organize, it's really hard to do a grassroots kind of organization. So I always thought that statement and that orientation was kind of ridiculous, actually. So I had a problem with that. So anyway, those are the three problems I have with the information that Sean and Clay talk about. So,
all right. Okay. Did you have a question?
Those are my problems with it. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that coincides with what your guest is talking about, or whether it twigs him or not, or I don't
know. All right.
Know.
Okay. Well, John, thanks for the call. There are questions that I have about the story. When I had Clay and Sean on the air, I pressed those questions, and there's certainly nothing wrong with asking questions. That's what, if you're looking for truth, if you're looking for facts, you have to ask questions. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Lexion, and I'm in Louisiana. Bryce, hey, how you doing?
Okay. Tell me your first name again.
Lexion, L-E-X-I-O-N.
Okay, Lexion.
My biggest issue right now is with everybody saying he met with Bruce McAbee at a secure facility, but Bruce McAbee says they met in their office, or his office. There's a big, nice little tag that goes with a security clearance called SCI, which is Special Compartmented Information. Now, if they had said they met in his lab, that's one thing. But they met in his office. That's a very non-secure area. I mean, it's an office. So what's the big issue with it? That's my question. You know, everybody makes a big issue about the security clearance. Hell, that doesn't take a big security clearance to get into an office.
Okay. What about that, Bryce?
We are in the process, and understand without a signed DD-214 that it's very difficult to obtain military service records from an individual, especially when it's still alive. However, there are various routes by which you can request it from the NPRC. That's the National Public Record Center. Or Personnel Record Center, excuse me. Though that information is still forthcoming. However, were Mr. Thielman a Navy officer, either active or retired, it would have been sufficient to provide him access to Dahlgren Naval Base, the Naval Surface Warfare Center, purely on his existing credentials and nothing more. For instance, there was, and I believe it was you, Mr. Smith, that brought up the potential of the public exchange, the PX, on the naval base, allows retirees to come and purchase materials available there.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been that Mr. Thielman was on the base that day and had every legal right and reason to be on the base. Now, in the statements we obtained from him, and few though they are, he said that Mr. Sala is going to hear whatever Mr. Sala wants to hear, and that specifically, he broke no laws, violated no security oaths. And we have no reason to not take him at his word at this point, because he's refused to give any further statements, claiming specifically that he will not be believed by anyone. We have little else but to take what he says at face value and approach it from that aspect. So,
If I may interject, he did say it was in his office, which there is no security clearance, realistically, to get into his office.
That would be the case at Dahlgren.
Yeah. Okay, Lexion, thanks for the call. Interesting point. All right, we are just about out of time, so let's kind of wrap this up. What's the summation of the investigation? Where does this stand? What's the result?
We know that Source A really does exist. We know that Source A interfaced with various members of the ufology community. We know from Mr. Thielman's own statements that he has attended the Pickering's Bar and had drinks with them on numerous occasions. What we don't know is anything beyond that as far as where information evolved. We know that there are several inconsistencies in that information. We know that those inconsistencies have been verified independently. So the question now is, what is it that is incorrect in this story, and where did it come from? As Mr. Thielman, at this point, refuses to come forward, the only individuals at this point who might be able to shed any further light on this affair would be the Pickerings themselves.
Put yourself in Mr. Thielman's shoes for just a moment. Would you come forward at this point, or would you be of the opinion, hey, look, this is already spun out of control, nobody's going to believe me, I'll just say nothing?
Mr. Smith, I'll tell you that today I offered Mr. Thielman my spot on your show. I offered him the ability to talk to you and to step aside myself and allow him to simply present his side of the story. When he was presented that opportunity by Mr. Andrew Murray, he refused.
Yeah, but what would you do? If you were in his shoes, would you step forward and give your side of the story, or would you say, hey, I'm already fried here. People have already made up their minds. I'm not going to speak.
Knowing what I know now and seeing how the ufology community micro-parses statements, I'm not sure that I would come forward myself.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly couldn't say. If I were of the opinion that I was just simply not going to be believed, no matter what I said, was going to be twisted by somebody towards their own ends, is there another choice except just to say nothing?
Well, and that's my point. The UFO community eats its own, and they've been doing this now for decades. And, you know, I'm not sure that him not stepping forward to say something tells us anything except a commentary about the UFO community. And as you said, the UFO community micro-parses any statement that is made. And he may just say, you know, well, to heck with it. I don't have a chance, so I'll just keep quiet. Stay on the line with me for a moment, Bryce, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.